Welcome to the LotPatrol.com podcast. I'm your host, Alex Zielinski. This week, we'll be talking about some senior core drum lines and listening to a few clips. We'll have audio clips from a free music notation program that really has taken drumline sounds and percussion to the next level, and talking some trash based on poorly informed social media posts and a whole lot more. So last episode, I talked about this awesome program called MuseScore, and I made sure to say that I wasn't getting paid, wasn't a trick, wasn't a trap, wasn't anything else. I talked about it, but I didn't include anything to give you a heads up on what the sounds were, what the drum fonts sounded like, or the percussion sounds, any of that stuff. And I think that's really important because I think many people may have heard of MuseScore, other than me talking about it, because it used to be really terrible when it came, especially to marching percussion. It was awful, awful. If you had the older versions, most of us didn't use it for an audible or an audio representation of the music. We used it because it was great for transcribing. So I have a short piece. This is a brass arrangement that doesn't have a complete percussion section. This is just the drum line, basically, and a couple other other pieces with it. But yeah, take a listen to this. If you're looking for something that's free, if you're bootlegging or doing something else to get a much more expensive piece of software for yourself or for your program, listen to this because it will do what you need it to and sound great, and it's free, free. Free. Like I said, there's one thing that costs $50 a year if you really want to be able to share things online and take part in their community, but you don't need it at all. Free. You're not limited on their program options, anything else like that. So here's a little bit of music that you can listen to made with MuseScore. What you just heard was Arrival by Daniel Brandt. I added the drumline part to his brass score, and the end result is what you just heard, made completely with MuseScore. Again, I'm not paid by MuseScore. I'm just really impressed and in awe of something that is free and accessible to everybody, and you can do amazing things with it. So again, check it out. It's time for the Lick of the Week. The Lick of the Week is where we get to play something awesome and give you the sheet music so that you can play it and be awesome too. These are chosen from your votes. If you go to the website, lotpatrol.com, you'll have a chance to vote on three of these, and the one with the most votes each week gets featured in the next podcast episode. So this week, or I guess last week, the poll was last week. The winner of last week, which is now featured this week, is a Spree from many, many years ago. There was not even, there was no time, there were no clocks, it was so long ago. But 2001, the Bluecoats, we were given a Spree written by Jeremy Schilling and Matt Lusky. This was actually a series of three. It's called The Finishing Move. It's important to say that when we got this, it wasn't a complete score. The three Sprees that came together in this little handout were just drum parts or just snare, just written for one line. So we'll listen to this, but I fleshed out, I guess you could say. I added a quad part and a bass part. So here it is. So hopefully you dig it. It's at like a medium speed, I guess. It didn't really have any assigned tempo like anything else. Play it as fast or as slow as you want to. It's medium-ish because that's what I wrote it as. You may have heard other ones. I think some other guys that marched those years had put videos online of one called Finishing Touch that had more singles and stuff in it. But yeah, if you want the sheet music to that, the complete score, go to lotpatrol.com and click on Lick of the Week, and you can download the sheet music for each Lick of the Week, and you can even vote for next week's winner, which will be featured, and you'll be able to get the sheet music for that also. And of course, if you have your own lick, it could be a single snare lick, it could be a couple bars, it could be a few bars, I think we said 10 bars was the limit. Send that to me. Send me the audio and the sheet music. You can see that on that section too. And we'll put it up to be voted on. And you can be featured in the next Lick of the Week. I want to take this moment to talk a little trash about people on the internet. I want to turn this into a section on maybe you could think of this as the comments underneath a YouTube video that has a musician that is maybe not really comfortable, confident, or maybe they're just a novice. They're just a beginner, but you know the video, you watch it, and you know that they are going to be eaten alive in the comments. And some of this might be because people in the comments are not informed. They have half the information. They only have some of the information. They are not totally aware of what they're truly watching in the video. So we'll call this, you know, half-informed or misinformed ranting or complaining or trash talking. So the point of this, I want to read to you a post that I found online that has to do with a fairly brand new person to marching band and some difficulties that they were having. And then you, sitting wherever you are in your head or out loud, you can trash talk it with me. And hopefully after I read this, this will sound like something you would want to help educate the person. I say trash talk only because I don't think the post does the situation any favors. But I should probably stop talking about it, and I'll just read it to you now. So this post is written by the drumline member's mother. She says, "I understand that a chiropractor, is considered woo. Wondering what other options could be considered for my daughter. She's 99 pounds and playing tenor drums. She puts in parentheses the set of five across the front in marching band. She loves playing tenor and has worked hard to be at this level. So switching to another instrument is not an option in her mind. But these all-day rehearsals are about to kill her. She hurts all over, neck, shoulders, back, and feet. I give her ibuprofen. She has it to take during the day, too. The harness for the drums is so big that even after them spending a couple hours trying to make it small enough, it's been determined that they'll need to order a custom harness for her. In the meantime, the set weighs 55 pounds! Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. Over half her body weight. She's asking for chiropractor. It has helped me in the past, but I also know it's woo. And I'm assuming she's referring to things that are made up or that people speculate on their medical effectiveness. She's used it in the past. She has a few friends who've had horrible experiences with it. I also doubt that it's covered by our insurance. She asks, what else should I check for coverage on? Massage therapy, physical therapy, anything else? I fear I won't be able to get an appointment with her doc until next week, and she needs help yesterday. So, many things about this we're not informed on, but we're going to talk trash about it anyway. And I've said this already. I'm being sarcastic. But the trash talk I really want to just say here is that she just needs to basically deal with it, right? No matter what band you're in, whether it's marching band, drum corps, anything, it's hard to say what tough really is, right? Because you go to places in different parts of the country, and what is tough to one student or musician is not so tough to somebody else. It's all a matter of perspective and so on. So what is really tough? Is this a person who has been sitting on the couch and now it's like band camp or move-ins or something like that, and now her body is just dealing with the extra weight, the extra movement, the extra stress? Or is it she's in the most prime condition of her entire life and she has some sort of anomaly that makes this extra terrible for her? The other part of this that we don't know is what type of, depending on where you are in the country, is it a harness, a rack, or a carrier? What type is it that is giving her problems? Is it like the old ones from the 70s, 80s, or 90s that were made basically for one height, for one body style, and if it didn't work for you, you know, you were stuck? Or is this something that's much more adjustable, can deal with different body types, heights, weights, etc.? We don't know. We don't know. But what I want to say, instead of just saying, well, yeah, you need to do this and do that, but like, look, man, I went to band camp and my ankle was sprained and I dealt with it all week because I was a lazy, lazy person. I guess I was a freshman. So, yeah, it sucked. It was horrible. I think the first or the second core I marched, we would drum all weekend, and on the last day it would be tough to remove my fingers from the mallets. But that's because I had taken a year off. The first year that I auditioned and then made a core, I was sore after the weekend because that's just how it was. And I'm upset for irrational reasons because this post has been made like there's some sort of special situation or circumstance where she needs special treatments for this. And maybe she does. Maybe she's impaired in some other way and there is a logical explanation for this. But you read farther down in the comments and she says that her daughter's knee locks up. She needs help immediately. There's so much pain. She can't do this, etc., etc., etc. My first thought was, is it not common, I guess, to have one set or the other, but there's the large set of tenors, there's a small set, tenors or quads, whatever you want to call them, with the larger drums, and they can weigh up to 55 pounds or a little bit more, but you have other ones that can weigh 30. I think the small drum, instead of starting at like 10, would start at 8. You know, everything is off by 2 to 3 inches each time. Is that really what it is? Is it the drums are just too big? I don't know. I'm hoping that someone listens to this and says, "Hey, man, yeah, she just needs to just deal with it. Just deal with it." And that's all I really want to say. I'm not really talking trash, I guess. I just was irked by the post because I feel like people are just too damn sensitive. It's tough, and I don't want to do it anymore. So I've got to quit or find a reason why or an excuse to not have to deal with this. Or what maybe is happening is an overprotective mother has heard her daughter's cries, and I say that sarcastically too, her complaints or even just her own observations, like, "Hey, mom, the carrier really hurts my shoulders. It sucks. You know, they're making me wear this all week." And, you know, and maybe her mother has just taken the initiative to be proactive and find some help, some things that will make her daughter feel better, when really, maybe marching bands would tell you this, but any drum corps would tell you, you should have been running like a month ago. You should have been doing some push-ups like a month ago. You should be working out like a month ago to prepare for what was going to happen. If you weigh half as much as what your instrument does, something should clue you in right there that, "Hey, man, I gotta prepare. I gotta do something to bulk up. I gotta start eating a second cheeseburger. I gotta eat an extra milkshake. I gotta eat big to get big to carry these big drums." And like people have said about drum corps or even marching band, you know, if it was easy, everybody would do it. Maybe you should play triangle. Sarcasm. It's just sarcasm. So yeah, that's my thought on that. This is kind of motivated too by another post I saw about how a band director had set the baseline for a marching band before the drum instructor ever got there. Drum instructor never had a hand in it. And now the drum instructor and the band director were having issues because a student who had played saxophone the year prior was now on bass complaining about, I think this was also a knee problem. Drum hurts, plays out of time, can't play in time, can't march in time, you know, the general laundry list of problems, which I find interesting because I would assume that hopefully being in band 1 year, you sort of have a concept of time and rhythm and so on, at least a concept of tempo. But now they don't know if they should cut her or not. I mean, why was she put in that position if she was so awful in the first place? You know, at what point do you say this is the student's fault for choosing this, and at what point do you say, well, this is the band director's or the drum instructor's fault for allowing this to happen or setting it up to happen or permitting it to happen but not giving any further guidance, like, "Hey, you weigh 90 pounds and now you're gonna carry, oh, I don't know, like a 32 inch bass drum or something." You know, at what point do we say yes, but maybe not right now? Yes, because you are 5'11" and weigh 200 pounds. Or yes, but you're going to have to do a lot of work to get yourself ready. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of circumstances that go along with this, but I feel like most things, this was a breakdown in communication or someone not being aware. Or what I see more and more is kind of like athletes. You know, different college programs and different even professional sports teams, well, mostly college, I would say, would want someone who is an athlete, not just good at one sport, even an all-star in one sport. They want a well-rounded athlete. And what I see oftentimes when applying to colleges, when using music as a focus of that application, is we want to make our young child, our young musician, our student be as well-rounded as possible. So we'll make sure that they can play the trumpets. We'll make sure they can play the drums. We'll make sure they can play the piano. We'll make sure that they can do all these things because that looks better on the piano. But I feel, or not on the piano, on the college application. But I feel like that really borders a lot of times on the level of sanity. Are you picking this for your child to do in their best interest? Are you picking this for a student to do because you had a missed opportunity and now you're trying to live vicariously through them? Or is this what's happening because the student is genuinely interested in playing these things and you're there to help provide awareness and reassurance and guidance and direction to what's happening? Because in these two situations, with somebody being put in a line that is not playing in time, and now you want a cutter, or somebody who's having a hard time carrying the drum, is that the person? Should that have even been allowed to happen if there were competent people involved in the process? So, in your own lines, do you have competent people? How do you share the information? How do you ensure that someone is picked not just for perhaps the ability to play in time while the drum is resting on a stand, but someone who can physically endure what's about to happen, you know, with the marching season or drumming, you know, whatever your field or your venue is that you're not your venue, the thing, whatever you're playing, whether it's indoor, outdoor, or whatever, who communicates that, you know? So certainly, again, to use sports, if you are playing t-ball and then you play Babe Ruth or knot hole baseball, you know, as you're growing up, you're coming up in that system. But if you are, you know, with marching bands and music programs being cut and band programs that used to be held during the school day now being forced to after school activities, programs starting later instead of starting in the fourth, fifth, or sixth grade, now they're maybe seventh, eighth, ninth, maybe even the 10th grade. How do you communicate that information that maybe someone would have gotten another way because they would have been exposed to that instrument? They would have been aware of what's happened, whether it was passively or someone directly saying, "Hey man, that stuff is heavy and you got to have this, that, and everything else." Or at one point, do you just allow people to say, "Hey, it's hard," and you just quit? You just quit, be done. You know, tough decision, I guess. Not so much trash talk. I guess I'd have really no insightful information to say about this other than to ask more questions and think about, hey, how do you communicate this stuff to your people as they come on? Especially if they're wanting to be well-rounded and make it into a program based on their musical ability, or make it on a scholarship even for musical ability. So, stuff to think about. YouTube. Not the most exciting thing, but a fun thing to start off this conversation about drum corps, all-age drum corps, senior corps, DCA, drum corps associates. YouTube. One thing that you will have for any form of percussion is 1.5 billion videos on social media, and specifically YouTube, and you can see anything that you want to from anywhere in the world, no matter where you are, so long as you have some form of accessible internet with a decent enough connection to give you some videos. Now, we can argue that there's very obscure forms of percussion. I'm not really interested in those right now. What I want to talk about is the fact that you can look at anything for, we'll even say going back to the 90s, you can look up anything from marching percussion of any form, college, high school, drum corps, and there's tons of it. You can look up things that were around before you ever even considered being a musician. Everything you want. Homemade videos, professional videos, bootleg videos. Yes, they're still on there. But the one thing that's really lacking is anything relating to a senior corps, from the Kilties, from the Bushwhackers, from the Caballeros, from any of these, the big corps, or maybe the more popular corps, the older corps, the more dominating corps, all the way down to, the newer corps. There's just nothing really exists for these people or from these people in the way that it does for junior corps, the way it does for Blue Devils, now the Blue Coats, the Cavaliers, Phantom, you know, anybody who's regularly in the top 12, the top 15, there is countless video of them doing everything from warming up, stretching their bodies, you know, they're letting individual corps members take over an Instagram account or any of this stuff that happens. And senior corps really seems to be this sort of lost enigma, unless you are already in the corps or you're from the area where these shows are really, well, there's a lot of shows. There's nothing. And I'll tell you what really sparked this is I had considered moving for the sole purpose of joining a corps. And I thought, well, this will be besides moving across country to do this. This will be made easier by checking out some recent seasons, the shows, and some lot videos. And I thought, like anything else, that would be super easy to do, right? There'll be countless things to consider, different shows. You can see how they progress over the years or over the season, like you do with anybody else. See how clean they are standing still. See how clean they are on the move. All these things that maybe it's just me that does that. but I thought there would be a ton, and there isn't. Even winning cores, winning drum lines, have next to zero. And what I want to know is why? Is this saying that the junior core or DCI is like Major League Baseball, and DCA or senior core or all age cores are less important, and they're like the high school baseball team that has lost all of their last 10 seasons and just doesn't have a prayer of ever getting any money, no decent uniforms, and we just don't ever pay any attention to them. And nothing could be further from the truth when it comes to this. If you're not very familiar, hopefully you will be. But if you don't, if you're like me, for the longest time, didn't live where you could really catch any of these shows when you weren't on tour yourself. And even then, you might not even see the show when you have one or two senior cores at your junior core show also. There's not much coverage. Little on YouTube. Not even sheet music isn't really shared. And I will tell you, from watching these shows, seeing them in person, seeing them live, and the few recordings, is there is stuff that is just as phenomenal, equal to or better than what you see from junior core drumline. So it's baffling to see that it's not, it's like an untapped market. So I'm not sure what capitalist will take away from that statement. But there's many things to take out of that. But is it less important? Is it less difficult? Less impressive? Overall, the big thing is that, you know, instead of being gone for weeks and months of your summer, senior core, you never age out, really, as long as you're physically able to do it. But you're typically doing weekend shows. Maybe you work a Monday through Friday job. You got sort of a normal routine. It's less demanding on you. It's less demanding financially. It's maybe more user-friendly is a way to say it. So, yeah, there are differences, because if you just look at the sheer hour difference, the number of hours that rehearsals are taking place, yes, there's a difference. So if I look at something, just using rough numbers, if I look at something for 100 hours, the same exercise or the same book of music, anything for 100 hours, and now I give somebody else who's same musicianship level as I am, and you give it to them for, I don't know, 40 hours. Will there be a difference in the final result, the final product that is created? Now, certainly there are many people who argue and say that no matter what amount of time either core or either person in that scenario is given, that you're going to produce an equally amazing result. And sure, that's possible too. So I guess I'm not really coming down on either side of that that argument, but it's just the fact that rehearsals are fewer, you're not playing constantly, weekends, night rehearsals, you know, that sort of a thing. That's what you're doing, but it is not necessarily less difficult, surely not from the top few cores that are on par with what would be competitive with like a top 12 drum core, or like 6 through 12 drum core maybe is a good assumption. I don't want to give the impression that I'm just trying to like be kind and say nice things about people, but it is, I know, a matter of choosing the right words to describe the fact that these two things exist, and one should get a lot more attention than it does. So no, it's not less impressive. It could be less difficult. But one thing that's maybe more noticeable is, especially when it comes to percussion education, drumline, and music, is that there are far fewer rock stars far fewer rock star instructors that are known outside of that core or that drum line or that activity in that region. To use a very popular name, Scott Johnson has been around for an eternity. But it's also somebody who is featured in countless advertising clinics, video features for different manufacturers and sponsors. I mean, this is a guy that you would not have ever had to have seen the Blue Devils warming up, him and his mullet, to know who that person is. So not that Scott Johnson is the be-all, end-all, but again, if you're a sort of a drumline dork or nerd, you can probably name who is teaching at the Blue Coats, the Blue Devils, Santa Clara, Phantom Regiments, Cavaliers, who else did I name? Maybe the Mandarins, a lot of those. And those people often have sticks. They have clinics later on throughout the year. They might teach at some other big high school or college level program. There are a lot of things that they seem to be known for. Not that that makes anyone in a senior corps setting less capable, but they are not as prolific. And I would argue, to sort of make, I guess, my point with this, is that if you are somebody, for example, on the West Coast, far removed from the hub of activity for senior corps, which is like Pennsylvania, New Jersey, really the East Coast, even Florida, but you don't know those instructors, those arrangers, those educators, the same way that you probably know the junior corps people who are just as far away from you. And I feel like that's a real shame. What's even more shocking, while you might say, well, yeah, I don't even know, whatever excuse you want to make. I don't even want to entertain what excuse you might make, because it's wrong. You look at some different manufacturers, and a very popular guy for something that is even less popular than drum corps, pipe band drumming. John Kilpatrick is a guy, I believe he's always featured on on Vic Firth's website. I think that's where I've seen his videos before. But you start digging into the manufacturers that he uses, and he is literally everywhere. Literally. Might be down at the bottom, might not be towards the top of that video feature page, but is just has an endless supply of videos and things that are behind him. Now, surely you could argue, is one more technically demanding than the other? Comparing apples to oranges won't get us anywhere with this discussion. The fact might be, though, an easier way to explain it is that how many pipe bands do you know? Unless you're in pipe band, you can't answer that question. But how many drum corps of any type do you know? Which one has more musicians in it? Which one has a larger base of people associated with it, whether they be fans, volunteers, educators, and so on? And you're going to give a man who has won snare drumming contests for pipe band this own little spotlight while completely glossing over the senior corps aspect. And again, the value of senior corps is that either you start in it and then go to junior corps, or perhaps you age out and then that's what you do next. It's either one feeds the other, or the opposite occurs, if that makes sense. So again, things to think about. So the point of this is I wanted to talk and play a couple clips of some senior corps drum lines. So if you're not familiar, or haven't looked, or you have looked and you're like, man, I don't know anything about these guys, but they sound awesome. The big three percussion sections this year for senior corps are the Buccaneers, the Caballeros, and the Bushwhackers. And I don't want to give like my personal opinion, I guess, but senior corps have way better and more fun and interesting names than junior corps. And I don't have an explanation for it. I didn't even take the time to Google it. But it's almost like if you say junior corps is kind of like the pleasant sort of, we have a PR person that will coach you before you speak, and we're very concerned about our image because that's how we attract more people and that's how we get sponsors and so on and so forth. I'm not saying that Senior Corps isn't concerned about that, but it's almost like, I don't want to say grassroots, but it's like they're just, yeah, we're awesome, and you know, we like wrestling. You know, I'm sure to somebody that makes perfect sense. Not knocking anybody's integrity or mental, I don't know, faculties, I guess. But anyway, so kind of the big three again: the Buccaneers, Caballeros, and the Bushwhackers. I did find some video of all three in July. Caballeros had the highest score in July, around the same time, with a 177. Caballeros and Bushwhackers both were tied at 168. So the clips that I'll play are from July from those three. But this past weekend, Buccaneers were still in first place, 188. Bushwhackers would be second place of those three with a 183, and Caballeros were at 182. The interesting thing, I guess, about that is that Bushwhackers, while the percussion section came in second, the core actually came in third. And same thing for Caballeros. Like the core and percussion scores were reversed. So we'll listen to this. The first one we'll listen to is from the Buccaneers. To me, listening to this while being all three groups being musically awesome, intense, focused, and just awesome to watch. The Buccaneers, definitely of all three, perhaps the most feeling of intensity, a lot of speed. They had exceptionally clean passages for July. Book was very demanding, but watching it from the July video, in a general sense, kind of a flat show, especially when we'll listen to the Caballeros, and you'll kind of hear a difference perhaps. But here it is, the Buccaneers, July 2019, parking lot audio. Check it out.
Thank you.
So I hope you guys dig that, man. That was pretty awesome. Next clip is from the Caballeros. Definitely, I always hated when judges or instructors or even directors of bands would say, well, the drum line has to be more musical. It needs to be more musical. Because to me, that really felt like, well, they need to play less and be quiet. Was kind of what that meant. But I think probably in the last, I don't know, 5 or 10 years, I've probably come to a deeper understanding of what that actually means. And rather than be more musical, I think the Caballeros of all three drum lines really, instead of saying musical, they have a wider variety of textures. Very much a musical variety, I suppose. When you listen to this, I mean, they have... texture is just the best word. They have a wide variety of textures in their show, and it's not just a change in volume while playing on top of the drum, I guess is an easy way to say it. Beautiful variety of textures and very groovy. So here's Caballero's drum line from July. Bushwhackers is the third one we'll listen to here. Watching them in July, the clip we'll listen to here, they were absolutely, man, they were just relaxed. And I don't mean that in like a laid back, like I don't give two thoughts about what I'm doing because I don't care. But like there was just like the most relaxed vibe, no tension, no strain. I don't know, it was just very like chill and cool to watch them play because it wasn't like that. I don't know, there wasn't like a grimace or a strain on their face, and not that the face is the very telling thing, but even just watching them play, listen to them go through their book, how they played, what they played, it was awesome, man. Complete confidence. There was, I think this is the clip that has one, it does, one long exposed roll, already hitting it, nailing it in July, even clean through some body work. While it may not be the most impressive to hear in this clip, just kind of file this away in your brain as you listen to it, because we'll listen to them one more time from this past weekend. And I think you'll really appreciate the difference in the two. So this clip is the Bushwhackers from July in the parking lot. I really hope that I'm slowly, if you were unaware before and you've decided to listen to this, that I'm slowly coaxing you, slowly convincing you to look these different senior core lines up and check them out, man, because they are awesome. If you have a show that's anywhere near you, you know, if you kind of live in the middle of the country, you're kind of, it's kind of a drought, you know, it's kind of like if you were to age out, there's not a lot of opportunities, for senior core. But if you're in an area that you were kind of unaware that these groups are in your backyard, check them out. And if nothing else, you're going to kill time on YouTube with like ridiculous work accident videos and funny animal videos. So expand your horizons, man. Check it out. So awesome clip. But here is a second clip from August with the Bushwhackers. Still very relaxed, but it's almost like, and I don't want to, I hate to describe any sort of drumming or musical performance with these sort of intangible things by saying like, well, it's more intense. Well, I want to say it's more intense, and I can't give you point by point what makes that more intense, what you're about to listen to. But it is. But music is, right, it's not a, it's not a thing we measure. We try to, right? but it is more intense. They are nailing the book, and if you enjoyed July, August, this clip is like July on steroids. If you were to take the intensity of the Buccaneers, take the wide variety of musical textures of the Caballeros, put it together all clean and still be some cool, relaxed dudes playing awesome, that's what August for the Bushwhackers would be. Of all three, they, to me at this point, listening to them, not watching their show, but just listening to them in the parking lot, would be the crew to beat, should be the crew that's in first place, maybe. Again, I don't know what they look like on the move other than what they're doing movement-wise in the parking lot. But anyway, here is the Bushwhackers in August in the lot.
Thank you.
If you could have the Caballeros play a combination of their exceptionally dynamic and expressive book with the Buccaneers' sort of ramming speed, ramming notes style book, while remaining as laid back as the Bushwhackers and marking time as the Bushwhackers, you'd be an unstoppable force to be reckoned with. The only question then is, do you use your powers for good or for evil? To appreciate these more, check out any of these cores. The DCA website is not super helpful for getting you like in touch with some awesome media for these cores, but just type in even just these three. We'll start you down the YouTube rabbit hole and we'll get you started, or just check them out and appreciate them. Even if you did know they exist, there are a few other good videos to watch for them too, and you can see get the visual aspect if you watch it. So I hope you thoroughly enjoyed it. If you did, go back and turn up your bass and listen to them one more time because they're even awesomer if you do that. And if you didn't do it, you should still go back and listen to it with your bass cranked up because maybe then you'll hear it the right way and you'll fully appreciate it. And again, check them out on YouTube. If you're on the East Coast, DCA finals are in a week. 2 weeks? I can't remember the date off the top of my head. You would think I'd be prepared with that information since I'm recording myself. But you're talented people. You can find this information. If you want more information about senior cores, you can go to DCACorps, CORPS dot org. Sorry, yes, dot org. DCACorps.org. But yeah, hopefully you dig it. Check them out and you'll appreciate them. And they'll appreciate you going to their shows and hyping them in the parking lot. Because they're great people. Thanks for listening again this week, guys. Remember, every Wednesday, new podcast, new things to talk about, new stuff about drumming, new stuff about drum corps, new stuff about rudiments. Fun stuff that we do, and maybe a way to share it, new things to listen to. So again, vote for your favorite lick of the week or submit your own by going to lotpatrol.com. Vote for those that are already up. Submit your own to me if you'd like to be featured, and we'll feature it next week or the week after. Thanks again for listening. For more information, visit lotpatrol.com, LOTPATROL.com. This is Alex Zielinski. Once again, I'll see you next week.